Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. My name is Apostle Stacy Lunsford, and I thank you for joining me today. Our guest speaker is Pastor Willie Mae Hill and friends. The topic today is kingdom building, and there is a conference that will be taking place on January the 25th, 2020, at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Pastor, the 25th, 2020, at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Pastor Willie May Hill will be facilitating the Kingdom Building Seminar on Saturday, January the 25th, 2020. And on January the 26th, Pastor Pamela Mazarts will be ministering on Sunday, January the 26th at 12 p.m. And at this time, I'm going to introduce you to Pastor Willie May Hill, and she's going to give an overview of the upcoming seminar entitled Kingdom Building. And do you have questions about kingdom builders? And are you curious about who the kingdom builders are and what they do? If you answered yes to any of these questions, please stay tuned and listen to this awesome woman of God, Pastor Willie May Hill. I turn it over to you.
Good morning, Apostle. How are you this morning?
I am doing great.
I'm so excited. Great. I am so excited to be on with you this morning. And I'm thinking about the prayer that we had earlier. And I know that God is going to do some wonderful things. And I just want to just pray real quickly, very quickly. Father God, I just thank you and I bless you for what you have already ordained to do. And all that we need to do, when we know that you have ordained a thing, all that we need to do is just say, Lord, we thank you. And God, we bless you and we ask you for fresh anointing on today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to talk a little bit about the service, the seminar on January the 25th. And Pastor Pamela will talk about the sermon on the 26th. What we're going to be talking about is kingdom builders. Who are the kingdom builders today? Can we count on you to be a kingdom builder? We're going to talk about kingdom goals, kingdom mindset, and kingdom work. And all this will be held and hosted by Apostle T.B. Walker at Disciples of Faith, 1511 Philadelphia Pike, Wilmington, Delaware. And that zip code is 19809. That's January the 25th through the 26th, 2020, Saturday at 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And I'll give the address one more time. Disciples of Faith, 1511 Philadelphia Pike in Wilmington, Delaware, hosted by the great Apostle T.B. Walker. And I'm going to talk today a little bit about the kingdom. I found that we're trying to do church without having a realization of the kingdom of God. Let me just give you my anchor scripture. I know that a lot of times people always want to know the anchor scripture, but let me just say this about the scriptures. I was a pastor for 13 years, and I find that most of us are scripture top heavy, but low on life application, which means that we know a lot of scripture. We have scripture written everywhere, on everything, but in terms of living the scripture, we have a difficult time of doing that, which is why I said scripture top heavy, but low on life application. My anchor scripture today and will be taken from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 10th verse. Matthew 6:10. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So you might want to just write that down. And as I said earlier, we are trying to do church without having a real realization of the kingdom of God, without being kingdom-minded. Church and kingdom-minded are two different things. church and the kingdom are two different things. And I'm not going to talk about the makeup of the church and the structure of the church today. I will, however, talk about that on the 14th when I come back on the broadcast. But today my focus is just going to be on the kingdom. We can't do kingdom without having a kingdom mindset. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So number one, in order to do kingdom, we have to have the mind of Christ. We cannot do kingdom work without the mind of Christ. And only when you allow the Spirit to control your mind can you have the mind of Christ. You don't just randomly get it. You don't just reach up and grab it. You don't turn seven times. You don't look to your neighbor for anything. You have to allow, you and I have to allow the Spirit of God to control our mind. Kingdom equals renewed mind. Kingdom equals transformation. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you do that, you will begin to understand and learn God's truth. That scripture comes from Romans 12:1-2 about the transforming of your mind, being renewed by the Spirit of your mind. Without an understanding of God's truth, you can't have the mind of Christ. I'm going to repeat that, which is something I kind of like to do. I think that repetition is good for emphasis. Without having a renewed mind and without being transformed, you cannot do kingdom work. So we've got to stop being transformed to this world. And then become so that we can become real kingdom builders. In order to become real, the real deal kingdom builder, you have to have a renewed mind. You have to be transformed. Then you can do church. Once I do that, then I can be a member of the body of Christ. So, as I said, we're going to talk next week about, on the 14th, about the church. Let's talk about the meaning of kingdom. What does it mean? Because we use that term so loosely. I got to do kingdom work. I'm about kingdom work. Well, let me just tell you some things about the kingdom. Kingdom means God's kingdom rule, God's kingly rule, God's kingdom rule. Means doing things God's way, God's way of doing things. So if I'm going to operate in the kingdom, if I'm going to do kingdom work, that means I'm going to, that's God's way of doing things. That means that I've got to line myself up with God's way, not my way, but God's way of doing things in his kingdom. Because number one, he rules. In order to have a kingdom, one must have a king. He is the king of this universe. In the kingdom, we have lordship. His lordship is for us, to us, and over us, because we are part of the kingdom. And one of the things about being a part of the kingdom, God rules over the entire universe. So the universe is for all creation. So he is the creator. He is the Lord. He is the sovereign governor. He governs not just us, but he governs over the entire universe. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He reigns supreme, but he not only reigns, Apostle Stacey, he not only reigns in our hearts, but he reigns over us. So we have to come to that understanding first before we can say, I'm going to do kingdom building. We have to know who the king is. Who the Lord of Lords and the King, who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is, before we can say, I'm about kingdom building. I'm about building the kingdom. Listen, this particular king, our Lord and Savior, governs over everything. And the kingdom is a real government, which is superior to the human government that we know so much about. In Matthew 4:15-7, I'm going to read just a little bit of just a little bit about that. Matthew chapter 4, 15 through 17. And this is really talking about when Jesus came on the scene after John the Baptist was killed. It says here, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light." And they only saw that great light when the king came on the scene. "And to them which sat in the regions and the shadow of death, light was sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand,'" which meant that the kingdom of heaven was there. John kept saying, he was preparing the way. He said, the king is coming. Prepare you the way for the king. Well, the king was there. And during that time, if you read a little bit more of this, John was cast into prison. He was arrested, and eventually he was beheaded. So John was off the scene, but who was on the scene? The king. The kingdom was at hand. The kingdom was there. Now is the kingdom. Now is the kingdom. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So everything that heaven has, the earth now has. If you recall that that scripture about binding and loosing, it says, whatever I bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever I loose on earth is already loosed in heaven. So heaven and earth will match up. The kingdom there has to match up with the kingdom here. In order to be a kingdom builder, that's an understanding that you must have. The kingdom here is a real government. Not like the human government. But God reigns over that. This is God's lordship. So if there are any questions before I continue on, Apostle Stacy, someone can even ask me questions now if there are any.
Okay, there's no questions right now. You can continue.
Okay, all right, thank you so much. The kingdom of God is similar to any country. It's similar to a king of any country. That king reigns and he rules over everything. But with this king, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he rules our hearts by his grace. That's the difference between our king and another king. He rules over our lives. This kingdom is not in word, but in power. And you'll find that in 1 Corinthians 4 and 20. You know, it's high time. I mean, it's really past time for us to stop putting the cart before the horse. We like to talk church, and we like to talk kingdom. But the question is, who are the kingdom builders for real? Who are the kingdom builders? Well, I would like to say that the kingdom builders, according to Daniel 11:32, are those that do know their God. And if you know your God, that scripture says that we shall be strong and do great exploits. So, question for you. Are you a true kingdom builder? Because if you are a true kingdom builder, then you know your God. And if you know your God, then you understand that you should be strong, and you should be able to do some real damage to Satan's kingdom. So when you know your God, number one, you understand kingdom power. You understand kingdom principles. Why? Because I know my God. I know my king. I know what my king likes. I know my king's morals. I know his values. I know my king's purpose and his intent. I know my God. Therefore, that privilege alone allows me to be able to do great exploits, great things. In fact, whatever he has me to put my hands to, I can do it big, and I can do it strong, and I can do it effectively. Now, when you know your God, it causes you to display strength, and it causes you to take action. Exploits means action. It means I'm going to do some damage. I'm going to take an action that's going to cause everything to rise. I'm going to cause heaven and earth to change. I'm going to make a life-changing difference in someone's life because I'm going to do some exploits. I'm going to do some serious work because I know my God. And I'm going to give that scripture again, Daniel 11:32. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So I would just like to say, what are you doing? What are you doing now? Are you doing that kind of kingdom work? Do you know your God? Are you strong? Are you doing damage to Satan's kingdom? Kingdom builders have a good understanding of God's plan and God's purpose for the kingdom, and they are not in the dark. Kingdom builders are those who do know their God and are willing to learn the principles of kingdom and be obedient to the authority of the king who is over the kingdom. He is the king of all kings and the Lord of lords. So I want to just repeat that again. Kingdom builders, not people that talk about the kingdom, not people that talk about building, but the true kingdom builders are those who do know their God, who do know their king, and are willing to learn the principles of the kingdom. See, he's my king, so I want to know what my king wants. Because I'm his servant. I'm one of his loyal subjects. So I want to know what he wants me to do. And when I find out what he wants me to do, I intend to be obedient to his authority. The King of Kings, the King of all kings. So before we talk about building the kingdom, we need to first know about the kingdom. You can't build something that you don't know, have knowledge of. You got to know about the kingdom. So before we start talking any further about church, about ministry, about those kinds of things, we need to really know what the kingdom means, who rules and reigns over the kingdom, who has lordship over this universe. Listen, being king, having a kingdom mindset, and we talk a lot about that because we kind of like buzzwords. We talk a lot about kingdom mindset. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, and we are called to establish God's kingdom here on earth. That's who we are. We're citizens of a kingdom. If you have a kingdom, then there must be citizens. There must be a ruler, number one, and there must be someone to rule over. So we have a king, King Jesus. We are his subjects. We are his citizens. We are the citizens of the kingdom of God. So it kind of brings me back to how sometimes we feel so lowly. We have such low esteem. We just feel like I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I can't do anything. Well, you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. You have royal blood in you. You are royal priesthood simply because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And I've been called to do something. I've been chosen to do something. Divinely called, divinely chosen to establish God's kingdom here on earth. That's your job. That's the honor. That's the honor that he's given to you. So get up. Stop weeping and crying and moaning and groaning and complaining. You are somebody in God's kingdom. So what am I called to do? I've been called to establish God's kingdom here on earth. I've been called to talk to people about God's morals, God's purpose, and his intent, and his values. So you have a big job. You have a job. God has called you to something very special. So for those of you who think that you're nothing, that you don't have a place in the kingdom, now, we're not talking about church again. We're not talking about church. We're going to talk about church later. Now, the church is not the kingdom. The church is in the kingdom, but it's not the kingdom. So you may not have a job in the church, but you have a job in the kingdom. The quality of life of the citizens of a kingdom reflects God's glory. Your quality of life in this kingdom is a direct reflection of God's glory and God's reputation of, as a king. And the kingdom, the king provides for the needs of the citizens. That's you and I. And the king is personally committed and involved in the welfare of his citizens. How do you feel about that, being in his kingdom? That's what you get from being in his kingdom. You are a citizen in God's kingdom, and he's your king. So your king, your personal king, is responsible, directly responsible for your provisions, for providing for your needs, which is why in Matthew 6:31-33, it says, take no thought. Don't you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. Take no thought for that. Write that down someplace, Matthew 6:31-33. In fact, I'm going to read it for you. I'm going to read it in your hearing. Matthew 6:31-33. We all know that, but I'm going to give it to you again. And it says this. Actually, I'm going to start at verse number I'll start at 31. Therefore, take no thought. This is Jesus saying this. Take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, listen to this, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But here's my favorite scripture right here. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you were concerned about, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, all these things shall be added unto you, because I am your king. You are in my kingdom. You are my citizen. You are my servant. You are my loyal subject. So, because I'm your king, I will provide all that you have need of. How about that? Our king is personally committed to being involved in the welfare of his citizens. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be concerned about what you eat. There's no sin in being concerned about what you eat and what you're drinking and what you're going to wear. There's no sin in that. But he says, I don't want you to worry about that. Actually, these things are priority. Eating is a priority. Eating is what you need to do, but don't make it a priority. Do I need to eat? Yes. Do I need to dress, have clothes on? Yes. But don't make it a priority, because I have already taken care of that. Let me just make sure you got that clear. Let me just make sure that you have a clear understanding of that. These things are things that you have to have. These are things that you need on earth. But do not allow them to become a priority over your king, because your king already knows that you have need of those things. He said, but seek the kingdom first. Seek the things of the kingdom first. And I like that he says, do that first. Seek ye first the kingdom. Don't do it afterwards. Do it first. But know this, I have already made provisions for you. That's what your king would do. The other thing, too, if you're going to be a citizen of the kingdom, of God's kingdom, you need to have a kingdom mindset. A kingdom mindset is the opposite of a me mindset. A kingdom mindset says, I'm his ambassador. A kingdom mindset says, I'm obligated to present my body a living sacrifice. Let's turn to that Romans 12:1-2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, if you are a true citizen of the kingdom of God, you have to have a mindset change. You have to allow God to transform you by the renewing of your mind. In order to have a kingdom mindset, again, as I said earlier, we like to talk these buzzwords, these little fancy words. I have a kingdom mindset. Well, you need to know what that means. That means my mind has been transformed. My mind has been renewed. My mind is stayed on Jesus. He said, I will give you a perfect peace if your mind is stayed on me. But in order for my mind to be stayed on him, I have to be renewed in my mind. Being a citizen of the kingdom, it has some requirements. Not only does it require that you have a mind, have the mind of Christ, and I kind of think that we should just say that to ourselves every day. I have the mind of Christ. When you begin to feel trouble in your spirit, or you're being distracted, just whisper that to your own self. I have the mind of Christ. Because therefore, thus making me kingdom minded. Now, another thing that you have to do, if you claim to have the kingdom mindset, you have to set your affections on things above. That's Colossians 3:1-4. Set your affections. What are your affections set on? What takes your priority? What is your mind on most of the time? You have to make sure that you are not preoccupied with things of this earth. Remember, this is the kingdom, and you're one of the citizens of God's kingdom. So you can't afford to have your mind on anything else. Well, if you say you want to be a kingdom builder, then your mind has to be on kingdom things, kingdom principles, kingdom morals, knowing God's purpose and his intent, kingdom values. So I'm asking you right now, check your mind. See what kind of attitude you have. Do I have the mind of Christ? Listen, you can't be a kingdom builder, for real, without the mind of Christ. That's being kingdom minded. That's having a kingdom mindset. Now, we asked a question, and we're going to talk about it a little bit later. The question is being asked of you: can we count on you to be a kingdom builder? Well, I'll give a response to that even now. Well, no. Not without a knowledge of what the king requires in his kingdom. Can we count on you to be a kingdom builder? Well, you can't be counted on to be a kingdom builder without a knowledge of what the king requires. So you, first of all, you got to know what the king requires, and then you got to have an understanding that I'm in a kingdom. I'm not just in a church, but I'm in God's kingdom, and my work is to be done in his kingdom. Now, the kingdom requires certain things. A knowledge, and some of this I'm repeating, but the kingdom requires a knowledge of how to live and operate under the king's rule. How to live and how to operate under the king's rule. The kingdom requires living and operating on the divine rulership. Now, in order to do that, in order to be able to live and operate under divine rulership means that you got to unbusy yourself. We are busy people. You have got to unbusy yourself if you intend to be a true kingdom builder. It requires an appreciation for his presence. I love talking about his presence. Being a kingdom builder requires an appreciation for his presence. In his presence, that's kingdom presence, in his presence, we are able to bring our minds in, reel it in, so that we can receive renewal, we can receive restoration, we can receive a true refreshing by staying in his presence. See, you can't be a kingdom builder outside of the presence of God. We're just doing things at our own will. We're just doing things by rote. But in his, to be a real kingdom builder, you must, it is required, it's mandatory that you are in his presence. Bring, reel your mind in, unbusy yourself. Then, once you do that, and I hear God says, get quiet. Be still and know that I am God. You can't know that he's God. You can't know that he has a kingdom. You can't know that you are a citizen of his kingdom. You can't know what your role is as a citizen in his kingdom. You can't know that unless you get still, get in his presence so that you can know that he is God. Then you're equipped. Then you are finally equipped to build. Because see, now that you've been in his presence, now you can hear clearly the king's morals. You can hear clearly the king's purpose. You can hear clearly the king's value. Without that lifestyle of operating in the kingdom, we will find ourselves running ahead of him, doing our will, not his will. Yes, Apostle? Oh, I thought you were saying something to me.
Yeah.
We have a habit. Go ahead, Apostle.
Pastor Hill, we have a caller on the line. Hold on. I believe it's Pastor Pamela.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome, Pastor Pamela. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Apostle?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, I'm enjoying what I hear Pastor Hill say about kingdom building today. It is definitely a refresher and a reminder to us exactly what God is looking for in kingdom building. And my desire, and it would like to encourage the listeners and others to please come out and be a part of this seminar. It is important because, listen, so much is happening in our world today. In 2020, things are taking place, and it's like God is saying, I really need you now, my people, to come forth and begin to build. Begin to build, because there's a day coming where we're going to have to give an account of how we built. And we're going to have to give an account and stand before him as what we did with the gifts that he gave us for the purpose of kingdom building. That's why we have the gifts. It's for the purpose of kingdom building. So listening to her is just saying, those who can, you know, just take a couple of hours on a Saturday and be re-equipped. Get the knowledge and the understanding of what God is for today. And those are some of the things that will come out in the message. Because the Lord is looking for qualified people and qualified workers. The problem is, we thought that being qualified meant getting degrees and being, you know, elevated in those areas. But that's not always the case. Everybody can't go to a seminary to be called the great titles that we have. God still wants to use people. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary work. And the problem is we've allowed ourselves to get in a place where degrees have stood in the way of the work. You know, if I don't have this degree, then I'm not qualified. So what is the qualification that God is looking for? You know, and those are some of the things we want to remind the people of in this time. Being qualified, requirements. What are the requirements? What is God looking for from me? If I put my hammer down and I put my nails down and I went and I did something else, there's still a requirement. God is requiring me to come back. But he now has a list of what are the requirements. What am I expecting of you to do to be the builder that I need for this season that we're living in? You know, yesterday's season is gone. Today is a new season. 2020 is going to bring new things, and we must be equipped and ready to build in 2020. So that's my desire, Apostle Stacy, is to see people come out and get this understanding while we can, while it's readily available to us.
Amen. And that is wonderful. I love what you said about the degrees. And a lot of people are more than equipped, especially people that have a relationship with God. And that's the foundation that Pastor Hill laid at the Spiritual Warfare Conference. And you and Pastor Thelma, you all build it on that. And that's so been in my spirit. But we have a lot of people today that are kingdom builders. They have a relationship with God, but according to man's standards, they think they're not qualified to be a kingdom builder, but they are the very ones that God is going to use. So I'm very glad that you said that. And for those of you that are listening, please, if you have a question, please press 1#. Pastor Hill was giving out some wonderful scriptures that I pray you will take the time to read them. And I just want to give Matthew 6:10, Matthew 4:15-17, and Daniel 11:12. And before I turn it back over to Pastor Hill, it was very important what you said, because you don't want anybody to just come and try and be a kingdom builder if you don't understand what a kingdom builder is and if you don't have a relationship with God. Now, everybody that has accepted Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and personal Savior, you became a citizen in the kingdom of God. So through the renewal process and through the regeneration process of learning how to be a kingdom citizen, you're going to go through different changes. You're going to experience, it's just like a baby that is born. It's on milk. But you're going to go from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. And through that process, you are going to learn how to become a kingdom citizen. But if you don't read the word of God, you're not going to learn what God is requiring of you in his kingdom. So we have to, and the other thing is the renewal of the mind. We come to God, we come to Christ, we go to church, and you opened up and you said we top heavy with the word, but we don't have application of the word. And those days is over. Right. We have to learn application of the word of God. We have to understand what God is saying, and then we have to walk it out. And then that walking it out, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's isolation, but it's all a part of the process of becoming a citizen in the kingdom of God. So I just want to say to everybody, if you want to do what you want to do in God's kingdom, you're not going to be successful there, because you must abide by his rules, and you must submit to the biblical authority of God's word. His kingdom principles will empower us to be kingdom citizens that will be untouchable.
Amen, amen.
Pastor Hill, back over to
you. And I would like to say this, too. We have a habit of working on half empty, the total empty. That's what we do. And yet we say, I'm doing kingdom work. But in kingdom work, we work on half empty, the total empty. Half empty will barely get you where your king wants you to be in the kingdom. Let me just repeat that. Half empty will barely get you there. You just kind of eking out a little something, eking out a little work. But it'll barely get you to where God wants you to be in the kingdom. But then total empty will cause you to miss the mark altogether, cause you to miss out on the mission and the task that he has given you for kingdom building, cause you to miss out on kingdom fulfillment. And then when you do that, then the job that he gave to you to do has to be aborted and given to someone else that's more kingdom-minded, more willing to deny themselves, more willing to become dedicated to a spirit of excellence for the kingdom's sake. So we really do have to step back and take a look at how we are living in the kingdom. And I hope someone would take note of these two things: working and living on half empty to total empty. We can't do kingdom work that way. Again, you'll barely get there on half empty and won't be as effective as you thought you should or you were. Or you'll be totally empty, and the whole mission, the whole task in the kingdom and for the kingdom will have to be aborted. And none of us want to have our work aborted. None of us want to have God say, you couldn't do it because you were totally empty, so I'll have to give it to someone else. How bad would that be for him to say to us, I had to give it to this person? So we have to learn how to get in his presence, allow ourselves to be filled up, a refilling. Every time we have a task, you need a refilling. So we have to be quiet, get quiet, stay quiet, and get in his presence. And when you're on half empty and you're on total empty, that's what happens when we become too busy. And some weeks ago, God gave me this little word for people that's too busy. He said, when you're too busy, you're busy with unassigned, unimportant assignments. Unassigned, unimportant assignments, which means that these are things that I didn't tell you to do. These are things that I didn't even give you to do. This is something you just picked up on your own. Now, we enjoy engaging in a good intellectual conversation about the kingdom. We enjoy talking about that. It's just an intellectual conversation, actually. That's all it is. We like talking about the kingdom. We like talking about kingdom building. But until we get a full knowledge of the kingdom and who the king is, who governs this kingdom, who we are in the kingdom, what our role is in the kingdom, all we have is a stimulating conversation about much ado about nothing. Just conversation, just seminar talk, just conference talk, and a backpack full of notes. So we've got to get a real understanding. So the question is, again, can we count on you to be a kingdom builder? Without a knowledge of all these things that I just talked about and what God requires, what the king requires in his own kingdom, we won't be able to count on you. So you've got to have a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness, a lifestyle of allowing your own mind to be the mind of Christ, a lifestyle of living with a renewed spirit, desiring a renewed spirit, according to Romans 12:1-2. So unless you have some more questions for me, that's all that I have. And I will be back on the 14th, January the 14th, Lord willing, to talk about the church, the body of Christ. Because we're talking two different things here. We're talking about the kingdom, and then we're talking about the church itself and the structure of the church. But in order to be kingdom-minded, I pray that you made a note of those things that God, that the king requires for his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
That's a, and I want to say, so I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, and I want to give Pastor PM to give some closing remarks or anything else that you wanted to add before we wrap things up.
Well, what I would like to say is just reiterate again, this is the time that we really need to know what God is expecting of us in this season. And I would encourage as many people who can to please come out and hear this and receive the a fresh word on kingdom building. We've had these topics over and over again, but we still have not reached the level in which God wants us to be in this season of understanding. So come out and get that fresh word again so that we can put our feet on the ground and begin to walk as the soldiers that we are for this time and season, that people need to hear a word from the Lord, and we are his spokesman. So that's my desire, is that people come out and receive the word.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, I want to ask both of you, the titles that you have been coming up with, these, the conference, the spiritual warfare, and now the kingdom building, it really amazes me, and it's kind of sad that a lot of people don't even understand kingdom building and that we serve a king. And earlier, I was live on Facebook, and I did a prayer today, and I mentioned how the world just celebrated Jesus for that day, and maybe some it lingered that next day. But those that are really in relationship with him, it's every day we celebrate him, not just on his birthday. But this kingdom building, and Pastor, when you mentioned the king, he is a king. He is the king of kings. So
yes.
when we think about evangelism, because the whole renewal process on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, since the new year came in, we're dealing with Romans 12 and 2, the renewal of the mind. And so there's a tearing down taking place where we're encouraging the people to get rid of the negative thoughts. But on one day, it was like, let's get rid of our own interpretations of evangelism. And in order to do that, we have to go back to the basics. We got to go back to God's principles, which will also connects into what you guys are bringing forth on the 25th. And I want to give those dates again. The conference is entitled Kingdom Building, and it will take place at Disciples of Faith Church at 1511 Philadelphia Pike, Wilmington, Delaware, 19809. And Pastor Willie May Hill will be ministering on Saturday, January the 25th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Pastor Pamela will be ministering on January the 26th at 12 p.m. But I want to ask you, what can we do when new believers come to Christ? And, you know, we have the new members class, we have the discipleship class, but they really don't teach about being kingdom citizens.
Right.
What can we do to help with understanding and even teaching in those areas?
Well, we can do what we're doing right now by putting it out here on broadcast, putting it on podcasts and things like that. But we can pray that people, that pastors and teachers, the fivefold ministry, that their eyes will be opened. Because one of the things, when someone does join the church, we'll have a discipleship class. We'll have what we call the new members class. But in that new members class, we just simply don't teach about the kingdom. We teach about the church. Those are two different things. So we teach church instead of kingdom. So we got to pray that the teachers, that's part of the fivefold ministry, the teachers in the church will begin to, that God will touch their hearts and open up their eyes so they will remember we live in a kingdom. And that has to be taught, not just church, not just the body of Christ. But we have to combine the two things. So a lot of churches won't do it. Some of them don't know to do it. But it's our job, and we thank God for you, Apostle Stacy, that you're having something like this so that we can put it out there in the atmosphere about the fact that we're in the kingdom, and we have a king, and we're citizens of that kingdom, that God's kingdom is a government.
Yes.
And we have to teach that. So the time is now, and God knows how to he knows how to get that out to the people. But we got to change some things. But again, I have to go back to, we can't see those things unless we get still, unless we stop being so busy doing us, doing what we think we want to do. We got to do God's will, because, listen, he will reveal it.
Yes.
He revealed it to us to talk about this. He will reveal it. But we got to be in a place. We got to sit down in his presence and hear him.
And Pastor Hill,
it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And I love what you just said before Pastor Pamela chimes in. He just used you to expose something right there. Because you said the new members, they could come to church and they could do the membership classes or, you know, the discipleship and learn how the church do things. We teach them more about how to operate in our church and how the building, how they operate in the building. But we're not teaching them about the principles of God's word. And that's where the change needs to come. And my prayer is that this rise of the apostolic and the prophetic people that God is rising up, that there will be a tearing down of all of these erroneous foundations, and that the spirit of heresy that is in these churches will be torn down, so that the word of God, you know, reestablishing the priesthood, that's what God wants to do. He wants to reestablish his word, his kingdom. And so everybody that's not teaching the word correctly, but you guiding the people to you in the way you want to do things in your church. Pastors, prophets, bishops, apostles, let me tell you, it's coming to an end. God is going to tear that stuff down, because it's not about you and your vision. God is calling us back to his vision, to fulfilling the Great Commission. How are we going to go ye therefore when all of the people can see is that it's at that pulpit, when it's beyond the pulpit? So I'm just passionate about that, because a lot of things have been done wrong, and this is not a bash the church type of message.
Right.
But it is a call to repent and start leading the people back to God and back to the word of God. And Pastor LaPierre.
I would just like to say this in closing. As a parent, when you have a newborn baby, we're supposed to hold that baby in our arms. We're supposed to seek God's face. Who is this child? Who is this child that you have given to me? And then when God speaks, we are supposed to nurture them and teach them based upon who God say they are, their purpose for being on earth. Well, it's the same thing with our leaders of the church, with the pastors and the apostles and the great leaders of the church. We have to go back and look when new people come into our congregation. As it was said, it's not about just building the local assembly. It's God, you place this person under my leadership. Who are they? How am I supposed to prepare them for kingdom building? They're a baby. They don't know. Yeah. And so they need to be taught. And the leader must get in place and find out who they are. Many of us today who were a part of Lifeline Outreach Ministries Prayer Center, it took Pastor Willie Mae Hill, who I can honestly say she's not just saying this, she lived it. And each one that God gave to her, she saw the gifts, and she began to work with the gifts to get us where we needed to be for kingdom building. That's the job of a pastor. That's the job of the apostles. That's the job of the prophets today, is to get the people ready. Once they come on, that's our job. We can't just leave them there not knowing. How sad it is. They're 10 years in being members, but yet they don't know their job for kingdom building. God's going to hold us responsible for that.
Yes. Now, Apostle Stacey, you asked the question, what can we do? You know, I'm thinking about Second Chronicles. When the Lord said that if I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among the people, if the people won't hear, and the people continue to be stubborn, the people continue to do their own thing, their own way, he says, but I have a remedy. If my people, hallelujah, Jesus, which are called by my name, that's us, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And I'm going to go back. He says, seek it. I mean, really seek my face. Don't just cry, weep, and moan, and wail, but really seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. How do we fix it? Those of us that are called by his name, Those of us that say we are his people, we just need to pray. But we need to humble ourselves first, then pray, then seek his face ourselves, and then turn from our own wicked ways. And then God said, I'll hear from heaven, and I'll do that for you. I'll touch their hearts. I'll open up their eyes. I'll remove the scales from their eyes if you pray. So we've got to pray.
Amen.
It's not over. It's just broken, but it's not over.
That's right.
I hear God. There is a remedy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Yes.
And it is. And we are about to witness a mighty move of God. And I want to give an opportunity. If you are a spiritual leader and you are listening to this message, and you would like to tap into what God is doing, I'm going to give Pastor Willie Mae and Pastor Pamela an opportunity to give their contact information in the name of their ministry. And they are working with Apostle T.B. Walker, who is the founder and senior pastor of Disciples of Faith, where this conference is going to take place. But if you want to invite these dynamic women of God to your church for them to do a seminar, they would be more than willing to speak with you. They are anointed and appointed by God, and their desire is simply to help edify the body of Christ. And I want to personally thank both of you for your heart and for your love, first for God and then for his people. And being the teachers that you are. You know, when we talk about fivefold ministry, the teacher is often overlooked. But the teacher is very important. Even the evangelist is important. I've been saying, Lord, thank you for the rise of the evangelist. Like, where are the evangelists at? Because they lay that foundation as well. But I don't want to get sidetracked, and I do want to give you both the opportunity to just put a plug in for the seminar and then give your contact information as well and the dates that you will be ministering.
And by the way, when you talk about the evangelist, I heard you say that. I will be talking on the 14th, January the 14th, at 10:30 again on your broadcast about the body of Christ, which encompasses the evangelist. So I will be talking about where the evangelists are. I'll find them for you. So I am Prophetess Willie Mae Hill, prophetess and podcaster, and I can be reached at 410-925-1540. And my email address is livinginthewords@hotmail.com. I'll repeat it. I can be reached at 410-925-1540. The email address is livinginthewords pastorhill@hotmail.com. And my podcast can be heard on Spotify or anchor.fm. Thank you very much.
Amen. And I am Pastor Pamela Maziarz of Life Resources Ministry, which is an outreach ministry that God uses throughout the city of Baltimore, throughout the state of Maryland. He uses it. And my number to be reached is 410-36-2798. That number again is 410-36-2798. And my email address is abundantliving57@gmail.com. I look forward to seeing me in seminar. Be ready to receive a wonderful word and a refreshing word from the Lord. Thank you so much.
Amen. And Pastor Pam, can you give your address again? Because you were breaking up. Your phone was breaking up.
Okay. It is, you need my email address again?
The email address again, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It is abundantliving57@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. And again, the seminar is Kingdom Building. And it's going to take place on Saturday, January the 25th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., and January the 26th, which is Sunday, at 12 p.m. And the address is 1511 Philadelphia Pike, Wilmington, Delaware, 19809. And we invite you to come back for part two of this interview and more discussion about kingdom building on January the 14th at 10:30 a.m. right here on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We thank you so much for joining us today. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
God bless you.
You too.
Thank you
God
so
bless.
Much.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye.